Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through chapter 9, verse 1. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark, the 8th chapter. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alas, if only we had the Making Disciples for Life conference this week, we would have had the perfect feast for the occasion. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Well, at least that's what our Lord says in Matthew's account. Those details aren't here in Mark. We also don't hear Jesus say that flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Well, not in so many words, that is. See that Jesus' initial question today, "Who do people say that I am?" was only for the benefit of the contrast. It doesn't matter what people say. They were all wrong about Jesus. "People say" is not the truth. "What do you say?" "What do all y'all say," even, it says, even if Peter's going to be the one to speak all y'all's mind. Well, and how can that be? How can St. Peter dare to speak for all of them, the whole 12, without sampling their opinions first, without testing the winds first? Well, the reason is precisely the reason that Jesus gives in Matthew's account. The Father must reveal this, not the opinions of flesh and blood, not, we might add, of the Geist or of the consensus truth or of anyone's personal truth either. Therefore, how difficult it is to confess, dear Christians, and to hold that confession steadfast. Our confession is not the aggregate of great men, or better systems, or measurable likelihoods. And that's no small part of the difficulty of confessing. It's not measurable. It does not answer or care what people say. It says the same thing only with what is true, what the Holy Trinity has said already. To confess with Peter is to abandon the things of men for a mind that would be set on the things of God. To confess with Peter is to forfeit the whole world and even my life that my soul would be saved. And what would people say about that? Well, we don't have to take a poll. Never mind, we see what Peter himself said about that. And we learn how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, how difficult it is for ones who have their moistened finger to the wind and the spirit of this world, or their focus fixed on flesh and blood, to enter the kingdom of God. Whoever confesses me before men, Jesus says, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed. Now, few would say that they are ashamed of Jesus or that they hate him, especially in the church. But who would quibble with his words? The very Pope himself. And us too. Certainly the spirit and the flesh and the blood of this adulterous generation and sinful generation would quibble always with the words of Jesus and try, if possible, to have him without his words. How difficult it is to confess, dear friends, but how necessary. Our confession, if it is to be praised by our Lord Christ, must be a confession of Jesus and his words. It must be a confession of the immeasurable, fathomless grace that was wrought through his suffering and his death, and not without his suffering and death. Our amen is not offered mindlessly to all of the messages that flood our eyes or our ears. But the Holy Spirit is the one who has called and gathered, enlightened, and sanctified us by the gospel, by the scriptures, by his great and matchless work, disclosing the things of God the Father, even to us. Flesh and blood have not revealed this, but the Spirit-breathed words and promises of the Father in Christ Jesus have. To confess means to sing and to live in harmony with Jesus and his words, no matter who, no matter what people say. What do you say? Say what the Holy Ghost has said in his Holy Scriptures. Say, Jesus is the Christ. And I, in turn, will deny myself. I will take up my cross and follow him. That is a rock-solid confession. That is as solid as the one who has suffered and died and, behold, is risen from the dead. And that is not an empty or vacillating wind. That is an echo of the things of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.